Dr. Seth Moore is the Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. He joins us regularly to talk about fisheries and wildlife research in addition to environmental issues. I recently asked Dr. Moore whether a large deer population was part of our region's history, and is the current population desirable from a wildlife and forest management perspective?
I think you've had some questions from listeners about deer populations in this area, and this is a good opportunity for me to share my perspectives on deer from a wildlife biology standpoint. I'll start with saying that deer have been in this region probably since humans have been around. I don't know that deer populations, when this was all boreal forest, were very substantial at all. But as humans moved into this region, we do things like create edge effect. Edge effect is where we cut forests so that there are edges between forest and other habitat types. Deer are an edge species and really like that type of habitat. So I think deer populations really started to take off in this region when we started doing things like cutting forests, making clear cuts, developing land for agriculture. The process by which we create edge also is called fragmentation, and some of the things that we've done in this region in particular is fragment the land substantially, and I think that's led to pretty high populations of deer compared to what they were historically. And, you know, this has impacts, in my mind, on other populations, in particular moose, which is a species I focus a lot of my time and energy on. Deer carry brainworm as a natural host for the parasite. However, when brainworm is transmitted into moose, it actually causes them neurological symptoms and ultimately death. So I am concerned that our higher deer populations than we've had historically might be negatively impacting our moose population. And I can support that concern with some data that we have from our collared moose, where 40% of our collared moose that have died since 2009 have died as a result of brainworm infection, and then even higher proportion than that actually have been positive for brainworm, even if it isn't the leading cause of death in that animal. My preference as a biologist would be for us to manage for lower deer densities so that we can really try to do everything we can to sustain the moose population in this region, which is really the core of moose range in Minnesota.
Do you have a way to fairly accurately track deer populations and make observations about trends?
I do have a way of measuring deer densities nowadays. And what we do is we fly transects with a helicopter in Grand Portage. And what we've seen from 2005 to present is a significantly increasing trend in deer numbers. So, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, deer numbers are low this year. We don't have any deer on the landscape. We may have had some severe winters that have killed some deer, but the trend that we're seeing tends to be an increasing trend.
Pre-logging, was this landscape in northeast Minnesota less hospitable to deer?
I think so. I think that pre-logging, we probably had a lot of spruce and white pine forest. There probably were large contiguous blocks of forest rather than the way it's been fragmented nowadays. And I think that likely supported a much lower population of deer. It also probably supported a much lower population of moose than it does presently. I think this was primarily caribou habitat, you know, more than 100 years ago. And caribou first got hunted out, and then as we changed the landscape, moose tended to move in, and then deer have followed subsequent to moose.
And what are some areas that might be better suited to support a large deer population, both currently and historically?
You know, I think probably most of the Midwest probably didn't support real high deer populations historically. For the most part, deer populations across all of the United States have increased significantly and are continuing to increase. I think some of this is a consequence of climate change, and some of this is landscape management practices that we currently employ.
Are you able to reduce deer populations by allowing more hunting by the public?
The irony is a lot of times we try to manage for lower deer populations by making more liberal hunting regulations, and we allow people to harvest more deer. And then when that becomes effective, there are two consequences of that. First of all, people harvest more deer. They tend to be happy about that. But the second consequence is once you achieve your management goals and get the population stabilized or down a little bit, people sense the absence of those additional opportunities and the lower population of deer, and want that back again. And so so you can sometimes use people to manage deer populations, but sometimes the downside is that people want those opportunities to continue for a long time, and people don't really like when you actually achieve your management objective of reducing the deer population to some extent.
What kind of impact can large numbers of deer have on forest growth?
So deer do browse significantly. So very, very high densities of deer can actually cause a browse line where you can look through a forest at about 3 feet height and see a really long distance because they've actually taken all of the browse out of that area.
How do you determine what would be your ideal deer populations?
What often is done is, you know, we'll fly these surveys, we'll come up with what we think is the average deer density across the landscape. I think it falls somewhere around 10 deer per square mile. And we try to figure out what we think might be best for the landscape. You know, for example, if we want to promote moose population and minimize the risk of brainworm to moose, we might want to drop the deer population down to, say, 5 animals per square mile in the landscape. And that would significantly reduce the risk of transmission of brainworm into the moose population.
We've been talking about the research behind deer management with Dr. Seth Moore, Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. We'll end with a bit of trivia provided by Dr. Moore's children, Cade and Hannah.
Polecat is not a cat. It is a European nocturnal weasel.
The average worker bee produces only about 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in its entire life.